Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
A little something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional unprofessionals, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Welcome to episode 25 of the Rusty Quill Gaming Podcast. I'm your host and GM, Alex Newell, and with me for yet another exciting, dramatic,
also Tale of Daring Doom!
Better!
Also deep, noisy things.
I have with me
James Ross,
Bryn Monroe,
Lydia Nicholas,
Ben Meredith.
And you're all playing characters. What are those characters?
I'll be first, Zulf Smith, tired cleric.
Sasha Rackett, smug rogue. Remaining smug. I know that did that last
time. It's a net smug.
Yeah, I mean, she's probably less smug now.
Hamid Salah Harun Al Tahan for all your public relations needs.
Sir Bertrand McGuffigan, spore huffer.
So, yeah, you managed to clear out the bottom of Kew Gardens to then have a conversation with...
Which makes it sound like we were just going through filing cabinets. We volunteered. Like, they don't really have the staff these days, but we all got involved.
We got involved with the supporter relations. Yeah. We're on the lines to some of the donors.
Hi, I've got a massive amount of killer plants. Could those help in your pledge drive? Yes. Yes, they can, yes.
Can they make calls to supporters? That's the question.
So, yep, you managed to clear out all the monsters, finding some dead bodies on the way, and then ended up in Mendeleev's study, where he managed to tell you that pretty much the only people who are going to be able to help you out with that seed are the dwarves of Svalbard, seed traders.
He gave us some liquor.
And he gave you some tonic.
Garlic and aniseed shots.
Mm-hmm.
Delicious.
It's garlic and shots, and they just misheard it.
Is Mendeleev's office just like a pop-up Shoreditch restaurant? Is that what it is?
No, but next time we have an opportunity to do one, we'll call it Mendeleev's office.
So, anyway, back on track. We are still in Mendeleev's office.
Yes.
And you've just received the information about the seed. I'd like to pick up almost exactly where we left off. He has returned to opening the safe, having given you the information regarding the seed.
Are we off to Paris soon, then?
Why don't we finish up here first?
Well, I'll go and talk to the press while you guys finish up, and we can all meet back later at my apartment.
So we're taking our heroic payment, right?
Yeah, of course.
Yes, sure.
Yeah.
He opens the safe and comes over, and he puts a chest in front of you.
Thank you.
That is all of the funds for Frederick's excursion, which I suspect he won't be using anymore. Given the scenario,
with
that in mind, there is a heck of a lot of gold in there.
Well, tell you what, you're effectively funding our expedition, which may be of very important scientific import.
Yeah, if we find any seeds, then like maybe we'll bring them back to you to look at. Well, if we find out about that seed, we'll tell you.
If you could bring me more, I would greatly appreciate it.
Why not?
We'll see what we can do.
And I hope you understand that an element of this payment is, of course...
It's a bribe, yeah.
Yes, it's more to do with reflecting how benevolent an institution it is, despite this unfortunate accident.
I wouldn't dream of doing anything else. I'll make sure that the press are handled.
As Hamid is saying that, I give him the biggest grin. Just like, yeah. Mm-hmm.
None of us have literally any idea where we are.
Speak for yourself,
Hamid laughs in character.
Yep. Well, if you'll give me and Hamid a moment, I feel it best as we could...
Are you going to make sure that everyone knows how many things I exploded?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Get your line right, yeah?
But like maybe give me like a different surname, like Sasha Ricketts, you know?
So okay, yeah, I'll see what I can come up with.
People, yeah, like that. Yeah. So like my... You know.
Sasha Ricketts, the awfully shaky rogue.
No, well, some of them doesn't mean they're like... I suppose Barrett already knows what I'm doing anyway because they're all listening through that.
Sasha Rockets.
Yeah.
And on that, Mendeleev writes one
like
more thing,
lettuce.
Puts it into a pneumatic tube. Do feel free to stay in my office a moment. I mean, if you'll accompany me, I've arranged for a single reporter, nothing excessive.
Of course,
downstairs,
yes.
And we can make a quick stop-off.
Sure.
How much cash is it, Sol?
What I'll do is I'll split you. We'll deal with Hamid first, and then we'll cut back to party.
Then we'll count the money.
Yay! Yeah!
So, with Hamid, for the sake of speed...
Yeah, I don't want to roleplay all of this.
Give me a diplomacy check.
Dun, 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 dun.
Roll well.
Oh.
Rolled averagely.
I rolled a 9, which is not terrible. I do have a diplomacy score of 9.
You do a solid job in that you report what happened and you deliberately can doctor a few things. What I would say is you can tell me what you doctor, but bear in mind that whatever happens, it doesn't quite come across as sensational as you could necessarily want it to be for, say, Bertie's sake.
Yes.
So it doesn't come across as quite the exciting adventure that the other London escapades were.
Yeah, fair enough. I'm much more concerned with painting the four of us in a positive light than I am painting Q in a positive light. We're, you know, it's mostly about how we did really well.
So we'll say that the reporter leaves satisfied, if not particularly enthused. You get the impression that they're leaving thinking, wild animal got loose, some citizens helped.
Great. Yeah, fair enough.
A couple people died. Ooh, awkward.
18 is still a pretty good score.
We cut back to.
Right. That's like a lot.
Let's check our heroic bribe money. Anyone else get any irony? No?
I'm enjoying it, if anything. Yeah. What little of it I've noticed.
I thought we were getting paid for the fact that I managed to...
No. This is a bribe for us to keep our mouths shut about the fact they let a horrible thing out that got most of their people killed.
Oh.
Yet Hamid, Mr. I Want to Be a Hero, is all very helpful for that. Let's not forget he's the son of a banker. Start counting.
It takes you a while. There's a number of gems in there which are helping to reduce the size of it.
Oh no! How awful.
Give me an appraise check. Ooh, let's say Sasha, because you'll be the best.
Yeah, and I'm staring. My eyes are on dinner plates. I am salivating. 18 plus my appraise of 8, 26. I see every detail of every coin. I recognise the kings and queens on each coin face.
There is roughly 1,700 gold in there. Mm-hmm. And the majority of it, once you've sort of had a look and had a poke around, comes from a gem that's probably worth more than a grand. It's a significant size, amazingly well cut.
So it's like 700 gold.
So realistically, there's about 700 gold, and there's a gem that's worth about a grand.
Nice. Did you
pick up... That gem looks quite small and insignificant. I could help you hold that.
Did you pick up that vial from the skeletal hand?
Yes.
Have we worked out what that is yet?
No, I haven't looked at it yet, but that's a good point.
Does anyone have a way of recognizing potions?
How about we ask Mendeleev?
We'll say that Hamid comes back at that point.
Sure.
And Hamid drops up with Dr. Mendeleev, who's there, and you go, well, that was all right. Thank you again for your help.
You're very welcome, Doctor. We'll be in touch if we return from Svalbard with anything interesting.
Well, if you'll excuse me, I think I've got some letters to write to some families.
Yes, of course.
All right. Sorry about your mates, mate.
Yeah, so am I. He gestures for the door.
See you later.
Bye.
Well, we can probably organise something to get us to Paris. Leaving tomorrow afternoon, maybe?
Get a train.
Sounds nice.
Wait.
What? No.
That doesn't work.
I think the best way to get to Paris is probably a coach down to Dover and then, you know, just a small boat across.
Why wouldn't it work? It's a steampunk world. Is there a channel tunnel or an 80 Days-esque swimming train?
I can't believe I just said that, though. It's like, we can get the train. No, Ben.
There is.
Whey!
There are multiple ways to get there, either via ship from Dover or channel tunnel, which in this world also leaves... from Dover.
We'll get the coach down to Dover either way.
Yep.
And then we'll see what the best way across is.
I actually light up like wow. So we're going out. We're going. Gosh, yeah, that's fine.
Wow, the country.
Yeah, like wow. So is there a lot of countryside? Is it dangerous at all? Do I need to?
Well, not between here and Dover. No, I wouldn't say so.
Ken was particularly terrible.
And then, I mean, even on the
it depends. I mean, if you're good taste, then it's a disaster area.
Right. Perhaps for you, Bertie.
So it's all fine. I don't need to like
here to Paris is very well travelled. I mean, if we go a bit further, but I think we won't have
to be honest. I think you might find it decidedly boring.
Right. Okay. Like so is it. There's no, like, dragons or...
We might see a moo cow or two.
What's one of them?
Moo!
Oh, a cow.
A beef.
A cow. I get, like, when they put lots of steaks together.
Yep, with eyes and a face and a family. That's basically what a cow is.
Yeah.
Well, we'll sort that out then. We'll get a coach early tomorrow afternoon. We can deposit that in the bank. Any last bits of shopping if anyone needs?
Yes. So, we go to the bank and give the gem back. What is our monetary value?
Sasha appraised it perfectly accurately. 1,000 for the gem, 700 for the gold. You can split that as you see fit.
45 each.
Well, I mean, I did everything when you ran away, but fine, I guess. Mm-hmm. Suppose it's a team effort.
Yes, you've gone to the bank, you split your money. What do you do? Do you stock up on any things? You're drawing towards, say, at this point, you were underground longer than you'd think. Just because of all the carefulness and the creeping and so on. So it's actually getting on towards maybe afternoon, late afternoon.
I'd like to heal. I'd like to be healed quite substantially because I'm down to 7 hit points.
So what do you guys do?
You can go and probably hire a healer at one of the churches. at least in a normal D&D world, you can pay for healing at churches or temples.
Mm-hmm.
I assume you can do that in London in this world.
Yes,
right off Manfleet to the nearest Wren church, which function as little local clinics in and around the central London area. Yes.
While we're wandering, I suggest we all maybe get our own places to sleep, get a bit of, have our own space, decompress.
Of course, if you'd prefer.
All right.
Well, if you want to hang out.
Well, I'm fine going back to Hammond.
Yeah,
we're also flying out.
Yeah, so us three will go to Hammond.
So you can have your own space. We'll have our own space.
Yeah.
You're very welcome, Zolt. Whatever is easiest for you.
Come round. Play a board game.
Yeah, fine.
I'm the sort of person who loves Monopoly.
I want to play backgammon and I bet high.
So you're heading to Hammond's?
Yep. Yeah.
Okay. So you head over to Hamid's for a bit of rest and a bit of relaxation.
I order in some very high quality Egyptian takeaway.
Well, when you get there, you notice that the front door's open already.
Does it look like it's been forced?
No, not at all.
You forget to lock your door, Hamid.
I don't think so. Hello?
I walk in
hello?
Slowly.
Oh, hello.
Oh, hello.
Oh, hello.
Hello. Hello.
Oh, hello.
Hello. Who on earth are you?
I could ask you the same question, I suppose.
I walk in, see who it is. Do I recognise the voice?
Not at all.
Okay.
You see someone is lounging on your favourite chair with a drink in one hand and a notepad in the other. So sorry, I got here a bit early. I thought I'd just, you know, wait it out.
And I cast Spark on the notepad.
Ooh, ha! Fantastic. That'd be you, Zolf, yes?
Who, sorry?
And to give you a brief physical description.
By the way, also, I haven't gone in. I've been hearing all of this, and I am flat against a wall in the corridor, so that person cannot see me.
Sure. So they are wearing an incredibly ostentatious set of clothes, a bright, like, peacock-patterned waistcoat, a large, well-cut suit, like big cuffs, French cuffs, cufflinks, the whole nine yards, a big scarlet suit, scarlet trousers. He's human, not halfling or anything. He's got bright red shoes as well, and he's got yellow socks beneath it, almost garish. He seems to be pulling it off, but it's more due to the charisma of the person who's doing it rather than the actual clothes themselves. He's also really handsome. Like, really, really, really handsome.
Sasha can't see him.
With a good...
not stuttering.
With yet. A good, strong chin. Really, not well built, but just a very, very handsome man. Big, floppy hair.
She wouldn't be impressed unless he, you know, did something acrobatic. Like
rooftop escapades,
yeah,
that kind of thing.
That jump, yeah.
So he's just there. So, yeah, that must be Zolf and Hamid and Sir Bertrand. Yeah.
Sir Bertrand. Hello.
Hello. Mm. He just gives a good, meaningful look at Bertie, looks him down, looks him up, gives a bit of a smile, pours a second drink, and offers it just to Bertie, whilst everyone else is there.
Who might you be?
Wild. Good to meet you.
Pleasure. Takes the drink.
Is there a compelling reason why shouldn't shove this trine up your bum?
Well, he's not very... You wouldn't want that getting out, would you now, honestly?
I mean, you hadn't been formally introduced, which I think is probably part of the reason.
Also, you'd be dead, so it wouldn't be going anywhere.
You appear to be in my apartment.
I do apologize.
Uninvited.
I do apologize. I was just hoping to get hold of you, and, well, I thought this was the best place. I mean, you have been staying here most nights, haven't you?
Yes.
Well, there we go, then. I thought you might enjoy the company.
Next time, it might be nice of you to wait for an invitation.
I do apologize. I did knock.
Not quite the same thing, is it?
I suppose not. So... It's all very exciting. I'm noticing you're all looking a bit worse for wear.
I would dispute that, thank you.
Well, let me rephrase. Not all of you. Oh, I'm noticing...
No, I always look like this.
One of your party's missing.
Who? No.
Oh, I'm fairly certain that the girl is.
No, pretty... Ooh, what?
Yes, quite. So, where have you been? How was today? I'm quite fascinated,
Why
actually.
Don't you tell us why it is you're here?
Well, I just thought it might be a good idea for you to sit down and... You know, really, really share. You know, really, really explain things about yourselves because people want to know. You know,
are you a reporter of some kind?
Yeah, of a kind. I sell my stories to whoever's interested, really. And a lot of people are very interested. He sort of comes over and pours a couple more drinks of Hamid's alcohol for everyone.
Just that doesn't bother me.
Spreads it out. A lot of people are very interested.
Well, you know, I have been looking. I very much have an opening for a biographer.
I have to admit,
Bertie
I
makes
did.
A very meaningful look.
I did hear one. That. Of course, that. That while maintaining the look, going, well, we would have to closet ourselves away for a significant amount of time to really go over the details, the nitty gritty, as it were.
I assure you I have some extremely fine details to share with the appropriate young scholar.
Presumably you mean of quality, not diminutive.
I feel like I'm watching two gibbons show their bottoms to each other.
God, incredible flirting tactics. Can we? Okay, episode's on hold. Can we just play this out, please? Just completely. I want to see the whole relationship.
My details are distinguished by their quality and their quantity.
Indeed. I mean, that's a lot of the reason that I'm here. I've been hearing so much interesting. I mean, your deeds with other London, and especially, I mean, did you manage to catch whoever it was with the antique store? I heard that was a bit of a problem. No.
Look, Mr. Wilde.
Sorry, that was rude of me. Clearly, I was trying. No. I'm so sorry.
I don't mind telling you about what we've been up to, as I'm sure you've seen in the press and will see again soon.
Mm.
We are not averse to sharing our story, but I really must insist that you tell me what it is you do and why it is you are here specifically.
It was so generous of you to donate so much to the Natural History Museum as well.
Prepped a dagger and I sweep in and I hold it to Wild's throat and I say, what do you know about the antique store?
Well, I was hoping you'd be able to tell me. All I know is that you were there.
What do you know?
Now, Sasha, if there's any blade to be held to this young man's throat, I feel it should be mine.
He knows something about what happened to Gusset. He knows who trashed Gusset's store.
No, that's not what I said.
Oh, really? So
I was curious if you...
So how did you know about that? Because we didn't go to the press about that.
Oh, well, you know, some people are observant and some people, you know... I mean, where do the press find these things out?
Well, usually Hamid tells them.
Well, usually it doesn't always cut it.
That's how journalism works.
Sometimes, again, the eyes just... Despite the blade to the neck, the eyes go back to Bertie. Some deeds will just speak of their own accord.
Oi, what do you know about who trashed Gusset's store?
I don't know what to say. I know that you went in there and you had a bit of a conversation. It looked very amicable and then you headed on your way. Forgive me, I'm inquisitive. It's my job.
Yep.
I just thought you might,
what
you know...
What is your job?
Actually, just before that...
What Hamid, isn't?
Shut up. Hamid, a word, please.
I've got a thing or two in mind.
Sure. So I'll take Hamid away to a corner and just be like, Hamid, you realise that...
We'll go into a different room.
All right, all that.
We've got many rooms.
Yeah. You realise that what we're actually doing is kind of a bit... secret and international governmental level, so probably just shouldn't be.
Yes, of course, I won't tell him about that.
Okay, just making sure.
Good. Cut back to. That's very fine armor. Is that all yours? I mean, does it fit? Is it exaggerating? I'm just curious.
Oh no, this is a very real representation of what lies beneath.
I've stepped back with like taking the dagger off just because I don't want to be too near this flirting thing. Like, I mean. Firstly, she gets incredibly awkward around anyone flirting, but Bertie flirting.
And, Bertie.
Like, and this pun fest is just baffling. So like, this is a better defence against Sasha's daggers than armour.
As we re-enter the room, I offer Sasha a large drink.
See, isn't this nice? Everyone's getting together, everyone's having a good time.
You're okay with the fact this guy's been stalking us?
I don't think he's a threat. We'll talk to him, we'll find
Whoa
out.
Whoa now,
let's
threat,
just relax.
Really?
Just because someone's charming doesn't mean that they're not a threat.
I mean, I was really hoping to have a debrief and actually do some work.
Oh, don't mind me, honestly. I just thought, you know, it'd be useful for you to have a single point of contact. You know, so many reporters hounding you. If people were to know not to come to you because you're already taken, as it were, think of all of the hassle dealt with. And I mean, look at me. Of course I can spin this any way you want.
I don't know if breaking into our friend's apartment is supposed to be some kind of grand master play of showing how competent you are.
I'm sorry,
but
I
all
just
it makes me
and...
is not trust you and not like you. So that was a misstep.
I will take it upon myself to investigate the good character of this young man through a thorough interview and extensive debriefing.
Oh, please do.
Possibly over some wine?
I find that wine will often loosen the tongue.
Oh, and...
So I volunteer for this task. I feel it is incumbent upon me to take this burden of responsibility. Take one for the team, as it were, and indeed dispense one for the team.
Wilde at this point is watching his nails and just a quiet smirk. He's very on board.
I have a private interview suite at the Ritz that I feel might be a more appropriate venue for such an extended and languorous and vigorous...
Questioning.
You can't do that.
I'm going to allow that.
The magic of euphemism. Okay, can I just make one request?
You can't watch.
What? Why would I want to watch you having a conversation with this nice man?
Right.
Hamid knows exactly what's going on and finds that very funny.
Zoff also knows exactly what's going on.
Sasha... is kind of aware. Like, he's aware of the energy going on, but doesn't understand any of the words.
However, in the fits of your interview, just please try and be discreet with our work.
All of the bellowing will be at an indoor volume. I promise you that, Mr. Smith.
I don't think you'll be in a state to bellow the way I interview. Well, I mean...
Right, well...
No one else care to take me up on the offer?
No, if you want to take him into your hands, then you're more than welcome.
Oh, yes.
Well,
so
should we
say... we're all right with this. Just, like, you come in and you break into someone's house, you know secrets about us, and then you flirt your way out of it. That's just so I know, right? Because it seemed like we could take down monsters and, you know, deal with the police and fire away out of burning buildings. But just so I know that is the one thing that, like, you know, just... being aware.
It's not a very difficult apartment to break into, in fairness.
What were the monsters?
To,
We've all been battling our own internal demons.
Ah, right. But this was after the British Museum. Yes?
Yes.
Tell you what. Should we say 9 o'clock, Bertie? Yes?
Excellent.
Mr. Wilde, let me make something very clear.
Please do. As you're speaking, he hands a card over to Bertie.
If anything untoward makes it into the public eye that we do not want, into the public eye, I will drown you in a bucket.
Well, that's seemingly unfair, Mr. Smith. I mean, honestly, how...
And it's still going to happen, so don't try and barge
it. How would you know it's from me?
Just be very careful.
So you're telling me that if a set of strapping bucks and buxom, I want to say, ladies...
I could...
What? Wait, what? No. No, wait. What?
Under all of that, you might be. Who knows? What? All I'm saying is you draw a lot of attention. I can't promise you'll never get attention.
I am very keen to cut to the quick and just drown you in a bucket now.
Yeah. Steady.
Sounds good.
So stop it with your whole aloof, cleverer-than-me kind of thing you've got going on here. If you reveal anything that I do not want to be revealed about this team and their deeds, I will drown you in a bucket.
Don't worry, Mr. Smith. I promise to reveal precisely the right amount.
Good.
Wild leans in and just, honest to God, boops Zolf on the nose and goes, I'll try not to enjoy it.
I headbutt him.
Give me an attack roll to headbutt him.
That is unarmed is just base attack bonus.
And your strength.
So that is 14.
That's a hit on Wild.
I punch Zolf. That's not... Bertie's on a promise here.
All right. 18 to beat.
Go for it.
19!
Yeah, 19.
That's in critical for fist?
Not for fist, this is natural 20 only.
Okay, well I will roll on, it's D4, right? D4 plus strength? So I'll roll on 2 for wild, and then...
I'd never rolled
3
6
plus...
non-lethal.
Oh. Bang!
So I think, and then you lay me out.
Yeah.
At which point Wild just pulls out a hanky and very, very carefully just begins dabbing a little bit of blood out the nose. Was unpleasant. I'm so sorry to have let things escalate like that. I'll see you later, Bertie. Pleasure meeting all of you.
Pleasure.
And I hope to see you around again soon. Yeah? Okay. Yeah. Would you like me to lock it on the way out?
No, that's fine.
Okay. He just heads out.
Please, Mr. Wilde.
Oh, pokes his head in. Yes?
I will happily talk to you another time, but please arrange an interview in a proper location. Do not come unexpectedly.
I'll make sure to get a contact time and place from Bertie. Okay?
Very well.
Have a good one. He just heads out and closes the door. Cool. And at that, I think we'll call a break and we'll be back in a couple of minutes.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hey, marketers. Want a matchmaker to set you up with your perfect audience? Well, look no further. Get intimate right away with host-read sponsorships with Acast. Use Acast's self-serve ad platform to search and partner up with a podcaster or two from our network of more than 100,000 shows. Have them sing your praises in their own words. And get their listeners ready to be wooed into loyal customers. It's the ultimate loving endorsement. Book host-read sponsorships with Acast. Head to go.acast.com/closer to get started.
Test, test. Elias, hopefully if you hear this, it means I've found a way to record those difficult statements I was telling you about. While I hate to speak ill of the dead, the previous archivist left this place in such a dreadful mess, and even an organization with such an unusual focus as the Magnus Institute needs a well-organized archive. As you know, I've been going through trying to digitize and record audio versions, but I've been having trouble with a few of the more bizarre statements. There have been sufficient distortions as to make them utterly unintelligible. Thankfully, though, I managed to unearth this old tape recorder from storage, and these cassettes, archaic as they may be, are still better than nothing. So with that in mind, I thought I'd take it for a spin, as it were. I've taken the shortest of the problem statements, and I'm trying it here. Frankly, I wouldn't normally bother with something so fragmented, but it should be fine as a test. Statement of Jacob, no second name given, regarding God knows what. Original statement given July 15th, 2011. Statement begins. It'll get you too. You can stare all you want, make your notes and your inquiries, but all your beholding will come to nothing. When the time arrives and all is darkness and butchery, you'll wish you had stopped listening and run. Statement ends. Yes, well, you see why I wouldn't have otherwise recorded it. Not exactly something for posterity, but nonetheless, let me know if you are able to hear that correctly, Elias. If so, I think we can begin transcribing the rest of the statements. The Magnus Archives, a new weekly horror podcast by Rusty Quill, coming soon.
And welcome back. Picking up exactly where we left off.
Zolf is on the floor.
Ow.
Are you all right,
yes,
Zolf?
Yes, I'm fine.
You can't just punch your boss because someone flirts with you.
Yeah, basically that. I'll let it slide, because you did have a really nice bum. But.
Is nice butt.
What?
Oh. This is Sasha attempting to make the kind of flirtation innuendo joke that he has just seen everyone else enjoy. Nice butt,
yes.
Eh?
Well tried. Yes. All right, I put the effort in. But what I'm saying
right.
is...
Can't do acrobatics, so I bet.
We're supposed to be...
I'll find out at 9 o'clock.
This is related to... I wanted to debrief about this, actually, to our behaviour when we were in the basement of Kew Gardens.
Where I... defeated everything.
And this works into it. We're a team. We're a professional unit who are going to go into very dangerous situations. Now, I admit that I was also guilty of this, but we can't bicker. We can't try and one-up each other. We work as a team.
Three up, everyone.
Sasha.
Right.
Exactly what I'm talking about.
Oh, okay.
So, we need to work more as a team if we want to live. And this whole thing about heroics, Hammond, will get you killed. I wasn't being difficult. That will get you killed. And I just want to point out, this, gesturing to the empty chest, that was a bribe. That's not what heroes do. All we did was try and save the reputation of a man who screwed up and got a lot of people killed. That's manslaughter. You covered up for that. Where are your heroic principles at that point?
Oh, can you drown him now? Is that... I mean, I like it, but...
Bertie raises a fist at the mention of drowning Hammond.
I'm just trying to work out how it works.
They need to deserve it.
Okay, right.
But let's get all of our ducks in a row and work out exactly where our morality and ethics lie. None of this double standard rubbish.
Zolf, I agree with you. We need to work better as a team, and I would like us all to do that. But I am not going to stop helping people. That is what I want to do with my life.
And you won't help people if you're dead.
Yeah. If we'd followed your advice, we would have left that poor man stuck in that cage with the beast just outside and with only snakes for company.
I said to go and report to professionals.
We are professionals.
People who were, like, a larger team. People with more fire. If Sasha wasn't there, and if she hadn't just picked up
that little hobby. Yeah, if I had been fiddling around with those bombs... Everyone's just like, oh, don't try and take apart those bombs and put them back together again in Hammond's apartment. That's such a bad idea. Aren't you glad I did it now?
Was still a reasonably bad idea.
Well, fine.
We have workshops for that. Yeah. But if
we don't
if
know
Sasha
how...
hadn't picked that up, we would all be like Hotsman.
I'd like to think that we would have found another way to solve the problem, even if that was running away, which is what I was trying to do at that point.
That was what I was suggesting. To go and get the people who were more equipped to deal with it.
Once those swarms of things were dealt with, though, we still...
We didn't know if there were any more.
We still had to attempt to find survivors, Zolf. We don't know how much longer anyone could have lasted. What if that man in the toilets had still been alive and locked and trapped in there? What if Dr. Mendeleev had been dying and because we'd gone away, we hadn't found him in time?
If you get caught up on the what-ifs...
Because what if, when you wandered off to look around, I saw you headed off to that door on your own. What if you'd opened that and there had been a swarm behind there? You wouldn't be here. And I don't want you to get swarmed, Hamid. You're nice.
Here's a what-if for you. What if at Edison's party, we'd have identified, because we were security there, we'd have identified the assassins. All those people that died, you're responsible for that. Because what if you'd found...
What do you mean?
What if you'd found the bombers? What if you'd worked it out? What if we'd acted sooner? What if we'd stopped them? What if? You can't get hung up on the what ifs. Because you don't know.
I don't really understand what your point is, Zolf. Yes, I would have liked to have helped more people then. I would have liked to have helped more people down in the basements of Q. And I did help people. We helped people. And that, to me, is what matters. And that money, well, I could take it or leave it, but...
But you took it.
Yes, I did.
Nice gem as well, out in there.
Yeah.
I have been thinking about a new belt buckle.
I don't see it as a bribe. I see it as a reward for what
we did.
You literally
said it was a bribe.
I would have done what I did, whether or not he'd been able to offer us any money.
Tried to save their reputation for their flagrant disregard for safety.
Yeah,
I do not think it is a flagrant disregard for safety. I think Q is a long and historied institution and is valuable to this country and is worth saving.
You got no idea what he did to let those things in. Maybe there was something where they were just like, oh yeah, well, this is super dangerous and you shouldn't. And he was like, oh, we can't afford the safety.
Well, maybe now he'll have an opportunity to learn from his mistakes. And which if we had made sure Q had no more funding, if we'd let him die, he would not have had an opportunity to learn from his mistakes.
And if there's anything that Sir Bertrand McGuffingham stands for, it's for long and storied British institutions to be saved from the consequences of their own stupidity.
Well, that's not quite my point, Bertie, but actually, thank you, Bertie.
That's pretty much crystallised my argument. Now, here's a what-if for you. What if that crisis happens again?
Then I hope there's more people like us around to help, and not people who go down there and run away at the first sign of trouble.
That will be your fault.
I disagree.
Bertie, look at the time.
Oh, my goodness. Right.
Can I just... Right. To sum up, fine. You'll try and help people. Point is, I don't want any of you dying. You are here because of me. I hired you. I've got you involved in this stuff.
Yeah, I mean...
So I'm responsible for you.
I'm probably considerably safer here than I would be outside of, say, the Q dungeon. So, I'm fine with it.
I appreciate your experience. I appreciate your expertise. And I will do my best to listen to your advice. I do not wish to be reckless. And I realise I have a tendency to do that. So I will do my best not to do anything that gets us all in trouble. But I am going to keep trying to help people. Can you accept that?
Yes, but just don't get yourself killed.
I will do my best.
Just don't run off on your own.
Yeah, that's good as well.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah, you've got a date to get to.
Yep.
Bertie, allow me.
I cast prestidigitation.
Hey! Haven't seen that one in a while.
Yeah. His armour gleams.
Yep.
Are you going to go to the date in full plate?
He smells magnificent.
This is it's very much a power play. It's going along wearing the full gleaming fancy armour. It's like wearing like an incredibly well cut suit. It's incredible.
And no matter how many times he gets ironed, you do not lose the crease.
Yep.
Heading into the Ritz, clang clang clang. Table for two.
I'm
clang.
Going to be charming wild using. I'm not sure which is the best skill for this. Depending
diplomacy.
How the evening goes, it might be a combination of intimate knowledge nobility, or possibly ride. So...
I think we will analyse that outside of the episode.
Okay.
Yeah. And we may just have to skip ahead to tomorrow morning,
fade
I think.
Fade to black. Fade to black.
Yeah.
Some pictures of trains going into tunnels, rocket taken off.
Someone cleaning up with a hose on the street afterwards.
A massive falcon taking off. Pouncing on a tiny shrew and ripping its head off.
Two medieval knights jousting.
So, the next morning, everyone's rested. Shall we say that you eventually rocked back to Hamid's for the sake of ease to meet up with everyone?
Yeah.
You've all met up.
Just as breakfast is being served.
Surprise.
Yes. Wait, Bertie's idea of morning. Are we talking 2 p.m.?
It is technically still the more technically
11:59. Yeah. And a knock comes.
There we go. 11:59. A knock comes at the door.
Oh, thank goodness. We're going to be late for a coach.
Bertie, I'm afraid you've missed breakfast, but I've just got a last bit of second breakfast left for you.
Brilliant. Oh. Excellent.
Oh, classic. Oh. So, it's a Lord of the Rings restaurant.
I'm still a halfling, guy.
You're turning into Frodo. You've got your ring, yep. You've got your second breakfast.
For the benefit of the tape, I did have to have that explained to me. Sorry.
Oh, it's okay. You're still the cool one.
I just didn't miss it. Oh,
so, I know. Do you make it via train, express coach, or normal coach?
I think we should get the train, particularly if there are any tunnels involved.
Oh, yeah. I've never been on a train outside of my... I've never been on a train.
Very, very well. Let's get the train.
Sure.
To be honest, our rate of return is doing pretty well, so...
Like how much does a train ticket cost? I've got a like is it like 100,000?
It'd be a couple of gold.
Oh wow!
You make it to the station. We'll say that you will play this out, and there's a ticket board which has 1 gold for a ticket and 2 gold for a luxury first class ticket. Those are your two options.
First class.
First class.
Yes.
So we'll.
They have sandwiches included.
What's in the sandwiches?
Nice things.
Oh.
They have free Wi-Fi. They just have a woman looking at you.
Oh, no! What's the worst pun ever?
How long have you had that in my pocket?
Only about 10 seconds.
Very good.
The skill of James Ross.
We cut.
I don't have much experience of first class on my couch.
We cut to the interior of the train. Wood panelling, and there is a table. It's all four of you. You have a compartment to yourselves.
Someone comes through with a rattly trolley and they'd be like, wine?
No, they,
and then
you
think that you have to pay for it and you're like, oh no. And then they say, because you're obviously someone that got the special deal, that got the first class thing, and they're like, no, you don't have to pay. And you look at them. I mean, my experience and Sasha's might overlap a little bit.
So basically what happens
this
is
a 19th century train.
Yeah, right. we go find our carriage.
Everything is served to us by proper silver service style waiters.
We're in the compartment next to the incredible genius detective and three young wizards. We'll take the middle one.
Yeah, you took the middle one, and rather than white silver service, of course not. This is first class. There's a little pentagram. A complex one, it's elaborate, there's a bit of filigree, it's made in gold and it's inlaid into the table. And let's say that one of you at some point touches it, maybe by accident, maybe intentionally. And it summons a small afternoon tea with layered plates, cakes.
What kind of monster is that?
I've been in first class many times. I know how it works.
And there are smaller ones for hot drinks all around the outside. So there's tea and afternoon tea, and you stay on the train as you head off.
Sasha gets hammered on free wine. Absolutely hammered. I don't know what I have to roll, but like she keeps having them. And the thing is, Sasha's got... she drinks.
Let's say that you take 20 on getting drunk, which means that at what point you stop being drunk because you failed and then carried on and got back to us.
This
isn't working.
The whiskey!
Coffee liqueurs were the wrong way to go.
She gets hammered.
So you're on the train, and as... Sasha is slowly getting more and more drunk.
And
you
then,
pull out from
because
London.
Because it's moving and she hasn't been on a train before and is drunk, she feels really ill.
Is there a sick bag pentagram?
There is not a sick bag pentagram. There is, however, the first time that Sasha's ever left London, as the skyline slowly
countryside
gets shorter and shorter, and then suddenly there's spaces between the houses.
Sasha feels, I think, a vastly more extreme version of the way that I can feel sometimes where I go through large spaces, having sort of grown up in a central bit of London. And you're just like, what are they doing? You could put houses here. Why are they... It just feels wasteful. Like, what is the point? She keeps sort of looking for where the alleyways are. And the idea that you could take any route across a field is really quite strange. She's also looking for the angles that you'd get around, and that in itself, like the maths of that, makes her feel quite queasy.
So, yeah, you head on, and eventually you do. You head on into open countryside. There's the occasional cottage. There's a road that runs mostly parallel to the train tracks for most of it. And the weather starts to turn as you're driving along, I should say. First, there's this sort of faint pitter-patter of raindrops on the window, and then it gets a bit heavier and a bit heavier. Till eventually there's a heavy storm going on. And you're travelling for a good sort of 3.5-4 hours. It's not a fast train. And by the time that you're arriving at your destination, there's a solid storm. and you are basically, there is a little bell that dingles on your in your compartment, and it just has arrival written beneath it. The others, of course, being lunch and dinner and so on. And yeah, it just dingles and lets you know, and the train pulls into the station. Yeah, you've made the trip to Dover. It was uneventful. Your first uneventful, lovely, pleasant, enjoyable
the
journey.
The wizards are getting, you know, the 14-year-old wizards are getting hammered in the next.
Yeah. I said, and then they're just like, we're on the wrong train! We're in Scotland!
No! And then, who was it? Was in the other one?
And then they're poking out from the other one.
Yeah, Poirot is in the other one.
Wait, no, Sherlock Holmes and Poirot are having to share a carriage. No, it's all getting very awkward.
They're both scrapping each other because they're both trying to solve the same mystery. Yeah. But yeah, you you make your journey, you head outside onto the platform, and it is properly stormy at this destination.
I am really glad we didn't take the ferry.
Is it always like this outside?
No.
Like there's heavy rain and big buffeting dust.
Let's get to the train under the channel.
Okay. Do any of you know Dover? I don't believe so.
I've got knowledge local.
You have knowledge local, which means that if you were to do a check and take a couple of hours, you could. Sort of
I
yourself.
Have a role profession sailor.
Yes,
it's a major port.
I will allow that.
I mean, Hamid has travelled from London to Paris a bunch of times.
Sure. So we'll say that between you all, you have a good sense of the layout, which is that you would have to go slightly closer to the seafront actually in order catch the train because they effectively tried to build it as close to the water as possible.
Yeah.
So you head down effectively towards the waterfront, not right to it because you realise.
Can we get fish and chips?
yeah, we could.
Like, so,
yeah.
On the shorefront. I haven't seen.
I guess it's pretty
before.
Much dinner time.
Yeah, right. Why not?
Like,
we only had lunch and tea on the train.
The sea is the sea.
Mouth open, staring.
Gawping.
Except this isn't like the open expanse. I mean, you can barely see beyond the harbour mouth because of the churning waves and.
It's like the Thames, but big, bigger. Wow, biggest.
Biggest. How the sea happens, yes.
So you work on the sea then? You used to?
Yeah.
Is it fun?
Sometimes.
You're finding it hard to hear one another over the sound of the...
It's mostly stinky and horrible.
So not much unlike other London then?
Pretty much.
Let's get dinner in this restaurant. It'll be quieter and then we'll head down to the train station.
Okay.
Right. So how long were you a sailor, Zol?
We go into a seafood restaurant.
I'm not even interrogating him. I'm just really excited by the idea of the sea.
About 4 years.
You dip into somewhere called the Soggy Sailor.
We go to a quality restaurant. Hamid doesn't go into non-quality restaurants.
The Soggy Emerald.
Yes!
So is there just a row of them separated by social standing? Yeah.
So to clarify, you
the Soggy Bosun, the Soggy First Mate.
You move to head into the Soggy Sailor.
I look most at home as the Soggy Cabin Boy. Which is just like a hole in a wall. Yeah.
It's just a man with shrimp on the inside of his coat. Would you like some seafood?
So. He's selling eels.
Yeah, the restaurant isn't called the Soggy Cabin Boy. He is a Soggy Cabin
Boy. So, you know what? Yes, I'm going to stick to you. Go to the Soggy Admiral and you sit down and you proceed to eat some seafood at the Soggy Admiral with the rain drumming against the windows outside.
So
you notice. Give me a perception check, all of you. Apart from Zolf, actually.
I think that Sasha's too excited. She's not noticing anything.
12 minus 1 is 11.
18.
18. Hamid, you notice that the clientele here is very upmarket. Zolf, from your earlier sailor profession, you recognise almost every single person in here is probably a merchant owner of a vessel of various kinds.
Merchant, though.
A merchant owner, not captain. So these are
not navy.
Not navy.
Good.
And both the two of you notice that they all seem really annoyed, and you hear loads of muttering about the Cult of Poseidon under their breath. Really, really aggressive, nasty stuff.
And so, since I'm really excited about the idea of the sea, I keep asking Zolf questions and do not notice the muttering. So you were, how long were you a sailor?
About 4 years.
Right. What was the best thing you saw? Did you see lots of like monsters? Is that how you found, you know, your...
How I lost my leg.
Oh.
Yeah.
How did you lose
one
your
of
leg?
One of the people on one of the other tables rather drunkenly goes,
Well, it's their job, isn't it? And they're not even doing it. So frankly, I reckon that we ought to go join the rest and have a bit of a yell. And then they shine him down. And basically, the waiters are just sort of trying to quiet him down because they're clearly the worst.
Like, how did it... I assumed it was a spell gone wrong.
No. One moment. Grandma Trident. Walk over to him. Excuse me, mate.
Whoa, okay.
Who's not doing their job?
Well, it was just, you know...
Hmm?
I was saying
yep.
to everyone else that yep. obviously, you know, the harbour's been closed for 2 days, yep. right? Which is ridiculous, yep. and they could change it, but they don't. But I get, like...
No. That's not how that works.
Well, I mean, I'm not one of the guys who are up there, am I? I'm in here. If I was going to cause trouble, I'd be out there, wouldn't I?
Well, where's trouble happening?
Well, at the seafront, obviously. I don't know what to tell you. I haven't done anything. I'm in here.
So help me out here. What's going on? I've just come in at 10.
Help you out? Help us out. I'm sat here, and it's costing me in harbour fees every single moment that I'm here, and they could do something about it. Let's be honest. You could do something about it, and you're choosing not to. And it's the third time this month, and honestly, it's not hard for you, but you choose not to.
I come up with genuine curiosity. So could you drown him?
I could, but I'm not going to.
Right.
I finish my scallops and join the conversation. Look, despite what you might think, we are genuinely new in town. We haven't been out of London in a while. You said some things have been going on for the last month. Why don't you just take a breath and explain a bit more slowly to us what's happened here in the last month?
Well, it's ridiculous. I mean, he sort of has a look at you. Seems to try and gauge you. I mean, you're a trader, right? I mean, you understand. The thing
I
is...
I nod.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, right, we're paying our taxes, and those taxes are going to fund, you know, the whole Poseidon thing, because it's a harbour, and I'm noticing that we're all paying this money. We're all still here. We're all still sat in this restaurant when I'm losing money.
Well, you realise it's not a machine. You can't just pull a lever.
Why not?
It's a lot more complicated than
because
that.
He's a god!
I notice that whenever any of the Poseidon lot have to sell, it's always clear skies. There's a lot of mutters of...
So you're saying there's some friction in the town with the local priesthood?
Well, tension builds up when everyone's stuck here all the time, doesn't
all right.
it?
Tell you what, then. We're outsiders. I got no idea what's going
How
on.
How are you an outsider? Look at you! Gestures to the trident.
Because amazingly, we aren't actually tied to the sea.
All right, yeah.
I can walk inland and I don't turn to dust or something.
Bertie, at this point, has finished his whole salmon. Walks over and sends pines off. I mean, he can't walk inland very fast, but he can.
Loads of them all start laughing.
I glare at you. I make it really obvious for once that I think that was not a good joke to make at this moment. Normally I indulge you.
Okay. I got a platter.
For once, I'm trying to get an idea into your head that perhaps this was not the right moment for that joke.
That's part of a master plan.
Then the one who's speaking is just like, look, I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry.
We're outsiders. I'll go see what's up.
No, it's all right. You just stay here and sit on your fat bum the way that all of you always do, yeah?
There's a few snails others. These are good snails.
I lay into this dude at that point.
No idea.
Go for it.
I say, you have no idea what this man has done in these last few days. You have no idea the lengths we have gone to accomplish great things.
Great water.
Yep, straight over the head. He stands, all of his sort of golden filigree on his waistcoat and his jacket sodden and he's dripping and he just stands up. And looks down at you. He's a portly man.
At which point, put my trident next to my remaining foot and just angle it towards him, basically bracing. My body language is, come on then.
Is Bertie taller than this?
He's eye to eye with you. The rest are short. He's the tallest one. He's a big...
Bertie takes a pace and steps directly in front of Zulf, in between him and Merchant, and stares down at him.
Right. Sasha has paid attention now. She notices violence and has swooshed around to be in roughly where an optimal spot for a flanking position.
I will allow one of you to lead the intimidate and the others to help. Who leads?
I think I'm
I'm eye to eye with him.
So you're in front, you're literally.
So, yeah. You lead, and others aid.
Probably you aiding.
Probably. Yeah.
Definitely.
So what I will do is, from behind this bulwark, is just poke my head from, like, kind of waist height, go, I was going to offer to help. I was going to offer to have a look. But now, you know.
Now.
We can good cop, bad cop it. And I'm going to pump the pad.
Roll it first.
16 plus 6 for intimidate plus 1 for pomp and pageantry.
I only got a 9, so I'm just like, meh.
Yeah, you're not. You're just overshadowed.
Not hindering.
You're just overshadowed
I'm
by
furniture
the
furniture in this.
Yeah, straight out. Hey, it's good cop, bad lampshade. good lampshade.
I'll pee it for me.
Okay, you attempting to threaten this man? That's a rhetorical question, because you certainly were trying to threaten this man. He has more salt in his veins, more communality with the sea than you could ever possibly hope to achieve.
Well, yeah.
Your tiny, miserable life. At this point, Bertie leans in, so he's actually shouting directly into the eye of this man, the teeth about 2 inches away from the eyeball. Now, I would have thought that it would be a very bad idea for a merchant of the sea to anger Poseidon or any of his representatives, or indeed I, one of his representatives by proxy. You see that trident there? Hmm? You see that trident? You see that there are 3 available prongs? Wonder how many play holes in you it could be stuck in, hmm? Were I to borrow it, yes. So I advise you to sit down, young man. Sit down on a chair before I offer you alternative accommodations.
While his attention is distracted, I cast Prestidigitation, turning the seat part of his chair from whatever material it previously was to sandpaper.
Sure. He sits. There's a... as his trousers tear. He doesn't stand. He just sits there quietly and looks over his drink. Everyone else just kind of...
sit.
Goes quiet.
Stay.
I go back to my seafood platter. They're eyeballs in kind of metal, like, and they're flopping around in some fluid. Like, it's
they're
kind of nice.
Oysters.
I'm going to leave an extra large tip at the end of this meal.
Sure. Everyone, all of the staff were kind of glad that you shut them up, but are nonetheless on edge from then on.
Yeah, because a fight might break out.
Yeah,
we enjoy the rest of our meal.
Yep.
It's lovely and tastes of vindication.
Yeah. These things, they look like pink bracelets and stripy kind of things. And like, the heads are delicious and they've got all these feelers get stuck in your teeth.
What, prawns?
Yeah.
You're supposed to take the legs off.
Right, oh, okay.
And the head. Well, the shell at least.
We'll cut ahead to...
Okay. Well, I thought, crunch, like crisps.
No,
as we're leaving the restaurant,
yep.
I ask Sol.
Why don't they have instructions?
Do you want to find out what's going on here between the people and the cult, or do you just not care? Either way is fine.
Well, I mean, it might be an issue. Do you mind a day's delay? I'm happy not to, honestly.
If it's only a day, I think that'll be fine.
Well, you need to recharge and make Poseidon happy, right? Or you won't be able to heal us. So, like, maybe if you could do something that would make Poseidon happy that wasn't drowning people, then that'd be really good for us, right?
Yeah.
Sasha is not charismatic, but she is quite intelligent.
Yeah, there's not much else in his repertoire, really, but we can give it a go.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's
go. How do you go about doing that?
Where... are there usually temples of Poseidon in the landscape? Where do they usually place them?
Well, you...
Seaside. Yeah, but like, is it in a cliff? Do they like building them into cliffs or on the top of the highest point?
Given your knowledge of this area...
Like cliffs, are they just made into massive? That'd be so cool!
You know that there is an entrance towards the top of the White Cliffs to one side. It's a good few hours walk from where you are through storm.
Do you want to go now or tomorrow morning? We can get a hotel in Dover for the evening.
Yeah, let's wait and see what happens. Unless, he said some problems may be occurring.
Everyone give me perception checks.
16.
23.
14.
14.
Natural 1.
Ooh.
Nice.
And I've got my knowledge local as well, if it's going to be about like the towns.
Sure.
That's the sort of thing.
It won't be a knowledge local, it's just a standard perception. Looking down as the slope... slopes away from you down the street, you see there's a large crowd, like just between the sheets of rain, you get a moment and you see there's a large crowd at the harbour. It looks vaguely mobbish. and a line of folks, probably guards or something similar, holding them away from the ships. Meanwhile, Hamid, you are fairly certain that you just saw Barrett.
Oh, that doesn't look good.
And I think I'm going to close it there. Cool. That was a fun one.
Yay.
Nice break from all that combat from the last few times.
Mm-hmm. We're no longer in London. The campaign Yay. Is going overseas, people.
It is.
Get
Not
excited.
Only that, it oh, gets better.
Yeah?
Pretty certain everyone just made it to level 3.
Yay. Oh, yeah! Yay. Level up, baby, yeah.
I say yay, and then I think of all of the rogue things that I have
all
to
of
read
those
through,
lists.
All of the complicated decisions.
I'm going to get plus one on some stuff.
So, yay. To add,
well, for maybe listeners who aren't entirely familiar with how this all works. Level 3 is kind of the level where classes start to open up.
And stuff gets real.
They start doing the things that they're supposed to do. With
I you. Can cast Fireball!
It's this kind of thing that the sorcerer gets.
The
mics like,
just pop. No.
They get their signature spell and, you know, right. We all start doing like the really classy things. So I get to be like cleric
like,
really
like
hard.
Raising your little finger in your tea and that sort of stuff.
Like okay. This is the last moment at which the rogue was the coolest class to be playing, I
think. No, they just continue. Yeah,
that's cool. Yeah.
Anyway, we'll do all that. So, and we'll yep, probably
get another
do...
sneak attack die, right? Right?
Yes, you will.
Yay!
And we'll probably do a metacast to talk through
yep,
the level
we,
up
we definitely will be doing, because this is actually an interesting one. It's a really good example of, you know, what... the leveling up process.
And my bombs will go up to 2d6 as well.
And I think we're gonna close there whilst we all gush over
Yay!
Our new levels.
The exciting new things we'll be able to do.
Mm-hmm. Look forward to it next week.
Guess how many skill points I get.
Oh. Bye guys. Bye guys.
Bye.
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 Rusty Quill Gaming is a podcast distributed by RustyQuill.com and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial International License. Today's episode was recorded and produced by Alexander J. Newell. To comment on episodes, make donations, and view links, images, videos, and show notes, visit RustyQuill.com. Rate and review us on iTunes. Visit us on Facebook. Tweet us on Twitter at TheRustyQuill or email us at mail@RustyQuill.com. Thanks for listening.
Hi, everyone.
Hi,
Ben.
8 games that should exist.
Pie Tracker 73.
Wow.
72 was so good.
2.
Guitar Villain.
3.
You've been thinking about this.
Floor Centre.
4.
The First Fantasy.
5.
The Penultimate Fantasy.
6.
The Final Fantasy.
7.
Final Fantasy 2.
8.
Woo! Hi, everyone. I'm Lydia.
Hi, Lydia.
Thanks, guys.
We just like to say
8 that. Ways to say thank you.
Merci.
1.
Ta very much, love.
2.
All right, mate. That was great.
3.
4. Oh, fine, if that's all you've got.
5. 6.
7.
Yay! This is the best thing I've ever had! Yay!
8.
Hey, everybody, Matt.
Huh?
I said, hey, everybody, Matt.
Hey, everybody.
Actually the best one.
Good question.
Can I appraise the potion?
What would
technically
be...
actually I think you could tell me what it's worth while simultaneously not knowing what it is in a strict reading of
but
the rules.
That actually kind of makes a lot of sense. Like you could quite easily look at a device or a clock or something like that. Well,
but
I know exactly
a liquid?
What skill would you be looking at?
Type of bottle.
Test it.
I could appraise the bottle, not the chemical.
I mean, if it's a magical potion, then knowledge arcana might work, but I don't know.
Do not have that because I'm a divine.
If it's a local potion.
Local people.
Yeah, if it's a noble gas.
Brilliant.
Oh, you.
Oh, I think I've burst a kidney.
Brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Motz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
Well, something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional unprofessionals, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.